I'm back. This week I returned from something I never saw coming. It's not illness, not injury, not dis-ease. Emotional overload. I never saw it coming. Stop trying to change who you are, honey. You're fine. I mean, literally, I was floored. I had no appetite, no energy, not even to climb my stairs. No desire to do anything other than sleep. We're gonna have that girl, 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 my girl tonight. We're gonna take... Climbing the stairs, honestly, it felt like a massive hurdle and challenge. And I think perhaps really for the first time, I actually realized that my body has been carrying something more than I even understood. Five years of unconditional love and focus as being part of a support group for my beautiful, beautiful mum. 5 years that my body clearly quietly adapted to. And after the celebration of life and laying her to rest, 1 week later, my body just said, it can't do it no more. It is your girl though, Jenny Russell. Welcome to Her Health and Happiness. See, my health counts too. Right here on UK Health Radio, your only real feel-good radio station. We look at the whole person holistically and we literally cover every aspect of health. How you're doing? Because by God's grace, 10 days down. Don't get me wrong, I'm not over out the woods completely, but 10 days on and I am so much better. I can climb those stairs. That's progress. I don't have the full energy I had before, but I have got energy. That's progress. So, I hope like me, you to remember that you are blessed and divinely favored regardless of the situation. A magnet for miracles, the solution to someone's problem, and the answer to somebody's prayer. I'm doing chair dancing. I'm just like dancing in my chair. But actually, this week, I'm just going to talk about the emergency withdrawals that I have made from my physical pension plan investment program. So, you know, it's funny because I always think like, you know, as a Christian, we always know that God puts everything in place at the right time. Everything's there for a reason. So, as I told you, I trademarked the physical pension plan investment program back in 2008-09, and it really was health and finance in harmony. So back then I spoke about the work-life balance. That wasn't a conversation or a statement people made in 2008, but that's literally what I did. And I said that it's these little tiny daily deposits of health from different principles of health that we put into this plan, that at the time when we, you know, when we get to a, inverted commas, retirement age, we can start making slow withdrawals as and when we need them. And, but I just didn't expect this to be one of those times. So life has happened, and all of a sudden, my own physical pension plans had to pay out. But not because of one bad week, but because of years of continuous withdrawals that I didn't even realize I was making. So what I want to be clear is, you know, Her Health and Happiness is a show dedicated to all aspects of female intimate health and the whole person. I didn't realize that I was in such fight flight. And we're in fight flight, it's all around the intimate area. So even over these last 5 years, I've had my own health brushes. Cervical brush, breast brush. And I'm not putting the dots together. I'm not putting the dots together because they're historical things that were from way back. But actually, they were coming out and manifesting in this period when we're doing all of this work around my mum. And, you know, once you go through such a big bereavement, you know, I saw my son yesterday. He was 32 on Sunday, but he was in Paris. So he came back yesterday. So I went for dinner at my son's and we were sitting down and having a beautiful conversation. Again, just talking about this. And as my son said, you know, my dad, God rest his soul, died in 2007, 4th of January. And that really hit us because as a parent, my dad was granddad, dad. My mum was grandma, mum. And so as my son said, this hit differently. You know, from the age of 12 to 16, it was my mum and my son. And then at the age of 16, my brother had my first niece. So for 16 years, my mum, you know, my son grew up in my mum's house. My mum played a significant central role in my son's life. And they were both avid readers. They both spoke a lot. They both shared a lot and they spoke a lot. And he shared beautifully at his grandma's funeral. And so, you know, you learn about the relationship that your child has built with his grandma that actually, most of the time, us as parents, we're not privy to. We don't actually, you know, our kids may grow up in the house or we drop them off, but we don't really pay attention. Not deeply. We don't, you know, if we're honest, who collects their children from their parents and says, okay, so what did you talk about with your grandparents today? And what was the conclusion of the matter? And where did they take you? And how did you navigate this? And you don't. You just let them develop their own relationship. And I had a really great time at grandma's today. Or I didn't have a great time at grandma's, etc., etc. So, you know, he's doing this and you feel confident, you know, you feel safe. If your children are in the hands of your parents and you love and trust your parents unconditionally, you feel confident. You just feel confident, so you get on with it. So when my mum needed that help and the roles reversed, when she could no longer recognise my son, it was very hard for him. We just went into natural, unconditional, right, what do we need to do? How do we need to do it? What day do I need to be there? And then me, I'm all about the organic food and preparing all fresh. And so every time I went to my mum's, the carers used to laugh because I came with the most bags. It's like, I'm there for like 2 days and they're like, you're moving in. I'm bringing, you know, especially I'm there on a Tuesday. I'm taking my laptop and my headphones and my microphone to record my radio show. But I'm also bringing food fresh. So I'm thinking, okay, you need to make sure you've got breakfast, lunch and dinner. What snack are you going to have? If I'm there for 3 days, I've got to prepare that three times over. So I've got to think, okay, well, if I want to do, and I want to use the 4 day rotation, and I want to make juices, and I want to have this, and I can't keep carrying my Nama from my house to my mum's, and at £600 a pop, I'm not buying two. We have the Ninja at my mum's, but I'm not a lover of that, so I'm preparing everything at home first before I leave, and I've got all this stuff to carry. I'm not thinking nothing of it, because I'm making sure I maintain her health and maintain mine at the same time. So my mum, like my dad, are eating like kings and queens. Because I will source my food and I will go here and go there and go everywhere. I'm not buying my meat and my fish just from the supermarket or up on the corner shop because it's convenient. I'm going to go to the farmer's market. I'm going to find the free-range butchers. I'm going to go to the fishmongers in Muswell Hill. I'm going to source my food. I'm going to go to Planet Organic. But if they haven't got what I've got, I'm going to Whole Foods and Piccadilly Circus because I want the Steenberg organic seasonings, because even the seasonings have to be organic. I'm just that person. So, you know, every Sunday we're getting the coconut water with the coconut jelly so I can make the smoothies. But then I want to make sure I've got pure watermelon juice or I've got the seeded grapes. So there was a lot in it. And then, of course, I've got my speaker there. I'm going to put my Bang & Olufsen, put it there so that I can make sure I have the music to entertain my mum. And then you bring your bits and pieces and your foam roller and your... You know, it went on. Anyway, I didn't realise, I thought I was maintaining her health to the best of my ability, plus my own. Everyone wants to make sure they've got relief, they want to make sure they can recover well, We want to make sure we have the right treatment protocols in place and we have the right solutions. But, you know, that takes work. And even with the maintenance and consistency and discipline and investment, I didn't pay attention to, because I didn't feel like I was under sympathetic stress mode. I didn't consider that I was in survival mode. I just didn't consider it. Because on top of doing that for my mom, I'm trying to maintain my business and my visibility and, you know, run my home and run my car and run my business. And I've got this child over here and that child over there. And then I want to go and try and do things with my nieces and still make sure I'm playing tennis and captain the team. And I'm on the committee member as a in my cycling group. And we're doing all these big long rides. And I'm just not thinking about what I'm doing. I just didn't think of it. And so, yeah, I tell people that. We all know this story. Everyone does. Even the book's called The Body Keeps the Score. We know this. You know, it's like it keeps receipts. So, you know, I had, whenever I was at my mum's, I had late nights and broken sleep because she was bed bound. So we had to set the alarm every 2-3 hours to check mum, to turn mum. So you never got the sleep that you needed. Sometimes, you know, you note there's different peaks and troughs. Once a year she was in hospital, you had to adjust accordingly. I remember Easter 2022, and I could see my mum was like on her way out. And it's all Easter, it's the weekend, junior doctors. And those nurses just leave the drink at the end of the bed. And I'm like, this is ridiculous. Because one, I had to fight to get in there. And then I'm like, listen, I want to see the doctor. Oh, she's busy. I said, well, I will sit here until she comes. And when she came, I said, listen, my mum cannot speak for herself, cannot advocate for herself. And at this particular moment, you can look at her and see she's too weak. What I am not prepared to do is to come back when she's passed away because you've left her food at the end of the bed and left her to dehydrate and then be told that lessons will be learned. My mum will not be one of those candidates for where lessons will be learned. So since she cannot reach for a drink and feed herself, since you are so busy, put a saline drip in her. That way, she's hydrated and you can just come and change the bag every few hours and just check. And that's what happened. If you saw the transformation, if I was to ever show you the pictures of my mum on Good Friday 2022, and then Easter Saturday 2022, you won't believe it was the same person. You think I doctored the pictures. That's the levels we had to go to. So I didn't realize that these things would be building in my body. And so these little receipts are building, all these late nights, the worries, the responsibility, the moments of vigilance, the sacrifice, everything. The body's just storing it, logging it, recording it. But it's not doing it to punish us. It's literally about just our own body's biomechanics, our own body's emotional load. And we're not even thinking about the visceral health, the organs and the impact. So I thought, and I remember an old friend of mine, Mitch, used to say, you know what thought did, don't you? Went back and made sure. I thought that I was caring for myself. It's called tennis. It's called cycling. You know, it's called going out and doing a run or a walk, you know, because even in that time in 2023, again, big stress, 4 weeks training, Brighton Marathon. Anyways, you know, I thought I was looking after myself. But clearly, when my body floored me, it was massive. And let's play a trail, come back on the other side. But when my body floored me, I was just trying to work out what happened to me. I just wanted to know, like, where did this come from? But when sickness announces itself, for so many of us, it's too late, especially if we haven't got something we can withdraw and call upon. Let's play a trail. Makes you feel good.
UK Health Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
What if your worst dreams aren't your enemy?
Falling, cheating, being chased, naked, drowning, losing teeth. What if I fail? What if something goes wrong?
I'm Teresa Chung, dream expert, best-selling author, and co-host of The Healing Power of Your Dreams. And in my latest title, Extreme Dreaming, I reveal a powerful truth. There are no bad dreams.
They feel so real, but that's so you remember them.
They're messages, signals, transformative gifts guiding you toward clarity.
Click on the Extreme Dreaming discount banner link on UK Health Radio homepage and learn to decode even your darkest dreams.
Extreme Dreaming.
Are you ready to listen?
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
So we are back. And as I was saying before the break, I think the best way to put it was I just didn't know what was happening to me. And so, you know, sometimes when you work with clients and they say, I didn't see this coming. I did not know what was happening to me. I'm like, now I can really say, yep, I can totally see where it's coming from. Although I do believe my body wasn't whispering so much. It was doing quiet shouts, you know? But one of the drives I said already is that after my mum died, you know, I advocate for health anyway. She comes first, my 60-day journey, that starting with self and then coming back round to self is a very important journey that every woman should really take, should really, really understand. And as I went to bed last night, the thought that came into my head was, if sleep is your ultimate gift to self, then your self-care routine is poor. Because it's not a luxury, you know, it's a necessity. And if you suddenly decide to gift yourself with good sleep for a day or two, it won't make up for the months and years you miss. That window between 10 p.m. and 2 a.m., it's worth more than any gold that could be given to us. It's worth so much. It's untrue. It's unreal. So we have to understand. And after my mum, as I said, I described her loss of memory as being burgled. Then, you know, I want us to age well. And aging well means that we age with the memories we had. I want us to age with the memories we had and the voice that we have. These two things are so, they're priceless. They really are priceless. When you say your health is your wealth, you know, if you make the statement, follow it up with the investment. Follow it up with the investment. Because you cannot buy health. You have to invest in it and keep on investing. That's just literally what it is. You cannot buy health. You have to invest into it and keep on investing. So, you know, I just want to be... for us to be in a much better position. I want us to understand that, you know, recovery and performance are not things to take for granted. Unforeseen circumstances, unintentional contributions to poor health are positions we find ourselves in. But if we haven't been investing in other areas, we may find ourselves taking long to recover. So for me, you know, getting women to understand their health, starting off with the 6-week arc, which is really about awareness, recovery and connection, you know, is really, really important. Connecting even just to yourself is important. Then taking the She Comes First 60-day journey, starting with self-love. Because self-love really does dictate the level of self-care we have. So if we don't have self-love, our self-care is misguided. The trends at the moment show us that 100%. It's all about what we look like as opposed to how we function. This is really important because even whether they have Ozempic lawsuits in the States, yes or no, or, you know, should I take this, should I not take this? We have no idea how these drugs that may make the body appear to look better are impacting organ function, for which the brain is one organ, and, you know, spinal signaling. We've got no idea. We will find out further down the road. Same with the jabs. We've got no idea. So, you know, what looks good today may just be detrimental to health tomorrow. So, you know, the way I always explain this to people is that you cannot be born today and be 50 tomorrow. You have to wait 50 years. So this whole thing with this whole drive of a gender reveal and, you know, we can't wait 9 months. You know, in the old days, you got pregnant and you just prayed. And, you know, sometimes the shape of the belly will give you an idea and et cetera, et cetera. I mean, a beautiful client of mine, the IVF, done the fascia treatment, has just given birth 3 weeks ago. Everybody said it's a boy. I just kept calling and saying, my daughter, my daughter, my daughter, one other lady besides myself. We were correct. Daughter, beautiful daughter. So we can't tell, but now we can't wait. Our to be patient, we can't wait. The one thing you can't do though, you cannot be 2 today and 20 tomorrow. Even if you're a little young girl and you're following social media trends, you know, thank goodness there's something that's going to stop these children feeling like they have to be 20, as we call it, before they're even 10. It's madness. It's madness. Why are primary school children going to school with lip gloss on? Something's gone wrong. But what's interesting is when we look at longevity habits at the moment, what's trending at the moment is our health and sports medicines. Amongst women's health and sports medicine is the growing recognition that recovery is not weakness. That's a good thing. But it is a biological necessity. And we're shifting from how hard can I push to how well can I recover? Now, I do know this, right? That when I was competing, I went to the step class yesterday at David Lloyd's. Wonderful young guy that took the class. But the speed at which they were doing some of the moves, my knee didn't favour it. And I said to him, you know, if you just had turned on his speed a little bit and keep on the RMB and everything, you know, I'd be all right. Anyway, so we had a conversation and I was filling him in on my journey, you know, Britain's fittest woman, record holder, gold medalist, blah, blah, blah. But I was also telling him about the silly runs we used to do up and down Chingford Hills, like a 1 in 7. We used to do these mad sprints and jump squats and press ups and all this craziness. And then I'd race off to go and teach a step class like an hour later. And I think about when I was teaching 21 classes a week and training on top for Britain's Fittest Woman. And I just get up the next day, get up the next day, get up the next day. So, hey, listen, I'm giving you history now. So my body's been keeping that score for 32 years, right? Or longer, because I was competing just before I had my son. So let's say 34 years, 35 years. And it was interesting because there's me thinking, I'm just invincible. I can do whatever I could. And I could recover like that. Recover like that. But if I have, you know, when I first started playing tennis 10 years ago, I was literally on a Thursday and Friday playing 16 hours for the 2 days. I could still recover relatively quickly. But now at Sassy Sexy 63, if I played 16 hours of tennis in 2 days, I would take 4 days to recover. It's just like, you know, performance and recovery. You can push through as hard as you want. Your level of fitness isn't measured at how hard you push. Your level of fitness really is about how well you recover and how quickly you recover. So I remember when we did UltraFit, a couple of months later, we went to St. Bart Folliemuse. And they wanted to test our VO2 max. So they put this big tube in our mouth, a peg on our nose, and then we were running on the treadmill. And they kept increasing the incline by 1 degree or 2 degree every minute or so. And you will run until you can't. So you've got to adjust your breathing because you have to breathe purely through the mouth, cannot breathe through the nose. That was my breathing apparatus, my nose. And then when you can't do anymore, you just point, you jump off, and you go on one of these old bikes that had the big massive wheel. And you start to pedal as fast as possible and push the handles. And then they drop this ton of weights on it, and you see how long you can last. And then they measure, obviously, the rate, your heart rate at the top. But what they were measuring was how fast you recovered. Now, they did myself as the open champion in 1995 when I set the record, and the runner-up. And they did that for, we were in the open category, and then the vets. So two women, two men in each category. So eight of us had this done. So the fittest man in Britain, the fittest woman in Britain, myself and Hal, and the other six candidates. Now, when we finished this, post 3 minutes, the closest person to my heart rate was Hal, who was the fittest man in Britain. And 3 minutes post doing all that, his heart was 101. That's his pulse. It was 101 beats per minute, right? Everybody else was 105, 10, whatever. 3 minutes after that, madness. But not your girl, Jenny Russell. Not your girl, Jenny Russell. Blessed and divine in favors. Designed for signs and wonders. My heart rate was 81. I was 20 beats lower than Hal's. Post 3 minutes. 81. At the peak of my fitness, my resting heart rate was 36 beats per minute. When the average resting heart rate is 72.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving, it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Somewhere on Earth, there are 4 acres that belong to you. You don't need to be there in person, only there in purpose, protecting it, defending it, keeping it alive. Because the world doesn't need more good intentions. It needs more meaningful actions. Register your interest at 4acresearth.com.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
We're back. I just thought I'd leave it there because it's like, how is your heart rate so low? I can't explain it. I just know I design differently. You understand? Now, this week is World Continence Week. And I suppose there's no better reminder than this week that our body is always communicating. And I wanted to just, you know, touch on this for a while because obviously as a female intimate health coach, looking at, you know, incontinence, I've been looking at this since the 90s, really, when I unintentionally had great testimonies about reversing incontinence, but really from in the 2000s when I published the first book in 2005. Continence is not just about your bladder. But we have to go to the bladder. That's where it manifests. That's where it comes up. But it's going to be about your nervous system health. It's going to be about your pelvic floor health. It's going to be about sphincter control. It's going to be about your posture. big time about your posture. It's going to be about your breathing. It's going to be about your hormones. And it's going to be about your resilience. It's going to be about those things. Because it's important for us to understand the contributory factors. So, detrusor instability. That's not just that's a neurological issue. That's not just a weak bladder issue. There is going to be some neurological nervous system issue, which can be exacerbated by poor posture, lengthening of the sphincters, misfiring and miscommunication, sensory communication. But there will definitely be attached to that some emotional trauma or history. Whether that trauma was in utero or as the child came into the world, it's going to be one or the other, and it's going to have an impact on how, even from a primary school, nursery school child, and how it's handled, how that particular problem shows up in later life. And I wanted to pick on detrusor instability because I worked very closely with a beautiful client who had those experiences in primary school, and how that still played out throughout her life, in her marriage, impacting intimacy, impacting sexual function, impacting how she saw herself and how her husband saw her further down the road. These are important conversations that we don't get to have. We have too many comedians that take the mickey out of wet knickers. And so therefore, many women don't know where to turn. But if you have a neurological issue with your bladder, that becomes a whole different story and a whole different way to navigate and try to rehabilitate than your standard, I say standard, loosely, stress incontinence, urge incontinence, mix incontinence. So let's take a little look at what detrusor instability is and why it may fall under the radar and many clients will not really get the help or the success that they really want, and how that can impact mental, emotional well-being. So the detrusor, right? Because you might be thinking, what is that? The detrusor literally is the muscular wall of the bladder. That's what it is. And it's kind of like a balloon, or a strong elastic blanket or jacket, literally. You could think of it as a blanket or a jacket that wraps around it, right? So what its job is to do is to stay relaxed until the bladder fills. Then it's supposed to squeeze firmly and completely when it's ready to empty. But think of it like the bladder's engine room. So most of the day, it kind of sits quietly, sits in the background. It's supposed to sit in the background and keep quiet. But there are some people where it starts revving up before it's supposed to. So it creates this kind of sudden, overwhelming urge to go. And literally, that's like the nervous system on high alert. So it becomes overreactive to years of stress. And that can create problems. And the issue is, for many people, because we don't think to yourself, okay, can I hear your emotional history? What was your mother's pregnancy like? Was it a very stressful pregnancy? Was the childbirth experience a very stressful experience? What was your home life like? What was the language? What was the things around that? Because all of those things, when we look at the sex and reproductive organs, that's where our self-will and our power, sex and relationships, financial issues are all tied into those areas. But we don't consider that. We don't realize even that for babies, based on the environment they're sitting in and what they're hearing around them, you know, even their body's always communicating. And, you know, sometimes urgency is just another way for the body to ask for attention. Sometimes that's what it needs, but it's not recognized as that. It's just, you know, it's not a child being lazy. It's not a child, you know, trying to avoid going to the toilet. It's not inattentive, it's not disruptive, it's not a child that's, you know, like I said, in my book, I talked more even in terms of the bowel. I said that, you know, little Johnny goes to the toilet at 10 past 9 every day when he starts primary school. For the first couple of days, the teacher says, go, Johnny. Then the rest of the class go, hold on, Johnny gets out of the class 10 minutes after it starts. So, Miss, can I go? Miss, can I go? Johnny, wait till 10:30. All you've got to do is create a new engram within 21 days. And all of a sudden, little Johnny, who went as regular as clockwork, has now become constipated because we've changed his biological clock because he's disrupting the flow. And this is the problem, right? But, you know, I remember when my son did dance as well. You know, if you're desperate to go and you need the toilet and you ask again and the teacher sighs and you're not allowed to go at that time, you're not... It's more than wetting yourself. If you wet yourself, it's more than that. There's shame, there's embarrassment, there's anxiety, there's a loss of confidence. Now, I can tell you for sure, because my particular client, the head teacher used to tell her parents to beat her. They also kept her clean clothes in the headmistress's office, which meant that she would have to go that walk of shame to get her clothes and be told off and beaten and be told off and ostracized. So it really becomes a stressor. And that brain-bladder connection, it has anxiety, it has stress, it has emotional overload. And all of those things can actually increase the urgency in some children. And so the cycle becomes more vicious and the cycle keeps repeating itself. Because there's that worry about leaking, there's that worry about being discovered that you've leaked, there's a worry about urgency and accidents. And so all the body does is it just learns to stay in fight flight. But actually, it freezes so much so it can't control. And maybe there's comfort in food, in your sitting down, the postures, you try to protect yourself. So even from a young age, children can develop poor postural movements that actually exacerbate the problem. Because if the pelvis tilts too far one way or the other, there's a lengthening or a contracting that doesn't help the bladder in any which way, shape or form. So we need to understand that, you know, continence is about compassion. It's one of the biggest lessons from Continence Week is that not every bladder problem is behavioural. Not every accident is linked to laziness. Not every child is being difficult. I think sometimes the most powerful intervention is actually understanding. But I do understand also that teachers have so many roles to play, so many things to do, that actually, you know, having a child within your classroom who has this kind of overactive bladder, who has no control over their bladder, because they don't have control over the levels of stress within their body and don't even understand it and don't realise that the more they have accidents, the more they have more stress. And so the cycle gets bigger, it's harder. But as adults, we often judge what we don't understand. And that's the problem. So whether it's the child struggling with urgency or a woman experiencing leaking after childbirth or an older adult living with incontinence, continence is not simply a bladder issue. It never has been and it never will be. But it's often a confidence issue. It's a quality of life issue, definitely a quality of life issue. And it's a compassion issue. So if we are able to understand and have more awareness, if we take away from the fact that this is great, what we've learned to do in this particular country, in the UK, is to take debilitation and turn it into something that we can make fun of, something that we can belittle. So what happens is, it's very easy to jostle that person, to take the mickey out of that person, to jibe that person. It's very easy for us to do that, but then we forget it moves into and beyond the boardroom at work. It doesn't stay in the classroom. It moves out of the classroom into relationships, out of relationships into work. And then as you climb the corporate ladder and add more stress to the body, it moves into the boardroom and it impacts. Now you can have and be the most amazing person at work, But if you've got issues around your bladder, that's going to be a problem. But if you don't recognize the nervous system relationship to your bladder, if you don't recognize your postural position to your bladder, that's a problem. If you start to dehydrate yourself, that's a problem. The rules around and the information around taking salt out of the diet is a massive problem for the bladder, because salt helps muscles to contract, not just calcium. So it's a must have. You can't, but not all salt is created equal. We're not talking table salt, Saxa, bleach stuff. No, we're talking proper, unrefined, organic, natural sea salts. That's what we're talking about. And so when we start to avoid certain things, we get ourselves in trouble, because we avoid it because people outside tell us it's no good for us. But they don't know your history. They don't know your journey. So how can somebody tell you that something that may be no good for them is no good for you? They haven't walked your journey. They haven't walked in your shoes. They have no idea. So the only thing we can do is advise. But none of our stuff should be that we are actually giving you that, you know, this is bad for you. This, it may be bad for that person. Doesn't mean it's bad for you. So we have to just really be able to think about what it is we're doing and how it is we're doing it. Now, I've got the last 8 minutes or so left. But, you know, there's so many things to cover. Now, next week, Saturday, I'll be doing another free masterclass. It may be the last free masterclass I do. And I am going to look at, you know, why aging well is not easy. Literally, why aging well is not easy. Yeah, and I'm literally going to give you like 10 tips on how to make it easier and how to make it your experience. Because for what I saw my mother go through the last 5-7 years of her life, especially the last 5, my mum was alive for the last 5 years. But being alive and living are two different things. When your quality of life is taken away, you are alive, but you are not living. I want to live my best life. Think about it. You have worked 30, 40, 50 years and you have put money into a pension. Should it not be so that you can live your best life when your time now belongs to you? Is that not supposed to be the aim and the goal? But if you're full of sickness and disease, it's very hard, right? If you've got issues around your bladder, that affects your wardrobe choice, it affects your social calendar, it affects your continence, it affects intimacy, it affects new relationships. Look at the amount of people that are divorcing and wanting to start new relationships. This is not something to carry into a new relationship. Just as a side note, a lot of things get dumped into my room. And even though I've got 1,000 wardrobe space, you know, I've got more clothes than my wardrobe can hold. And this morning I was doing my prayers and I was like, Father God, where is my husband? And he's like, are you bringing him in here? So I've been cleaning all day. So I was like, yeah, you've got paperwork to sort. You know, you've got clothes to iron and put away and just tidy up your room. And it's really, and I mean, I'm saying it as a segue because that's something I can do. And I can do quite easily. But reversing incontinence is not as easy as tidying my room. Getting myself back to full health is not as simple as taking a day out and tidying my room. That's the point I'm trying to make. There's some things we can do just like that. But other things require time. And so we have to understand that pelvic floor health, that the health span, how we live well rather than just stay alive, that's different. So, you know, as I mentioned before, your physical pension plan is definitely an investment account. It's every day you enter a small deposit, whether it's breath work, affirmations, nutrition, getting to bed early, social connections, movements that matter, you know, oxygen, sunlight, spirituality, your thoughts, you're putting something in. Right? So you have that choice. But if you keep withdrawing whilst not replenishing, you're going to be in trouble. So you want to hope that you have those reserves. So, you know, I've run out of time now, and I hope this... No, I haven't. I've still got 5 minutes. Oh, gosh, that's so good. I thought I'd run out of time. And so, you know, you want to be able to be in a position where, like I said, I had to make an emergency withdrawal, but I give God thanks that I have all the tools there to be able to actually withdraw. So, you know, I had let my sleep slack. And so I'm not catching up with my sleep. My body just let me and reminded me of how important my sleep hygiene was. And so I paid attention. I got my hydrogen bottle. So I have hydrogen water. I have my normal spring water. I have structured water in my foods and drink. But where I've not been able to eat as much, I have to be careful about what it is I choose to eat to make sure that I can maximize the nutrition in the small amounts that I will able to have. Regardless of what I've experienced with my mom and the tears that have flowed, I also reminded myself of the love that we were able to share with my mum. I can look back and remember the eulogy, what I shared about this wonderful woman. I can also see where I used to open my house and be the first one to light the barbecue every year, where the hospitality came from and the joy of entertaining. That was my mum. She opened the house to my friends, our friends, all our friends. I see where I get some of my traits from. And it's funny because sometimes we have to lose something before we realise what we've been emulating and what we've had within us all the time. So, you know, I'm thankful I have reserves. I'm thankful that I've been doing, and again, set myself up. I've been doing Qigong and breathwork like consistently for the last like month. So I set myself up. But I've been using the Swiss ball for 25 years. So I've set myself up a long time ago. So these are the things that are really important. I understand working in versus working out exercises. And I intentionally split exercise. So I've put movements that matter and exercise. It's part of my program. It's really understanding movements that matter. One of the biggest movements that matters for us, especially as we're aging, is your bowel movement. That's right, your bowel movement. The type of bowel movement, the quality of your bowel movement, the timings of your bowel movement. These are crucial movements that matter. I bet you didn't think I'd be talking doo-doo. That is one of those ones that we don't think about. But the foundation of your gut is usually left inside your toilet. So if you're not a person that looks back, I implore you to do that. Because, you know, Kanye King, God rest her soul, died of bowel cancer. We have no idea what her thing was like. But I had a beautiful friend of mine, Leroy July, years ago. And he did go to the doctor and he was asking for help, but he was ignored. So, you know, there's a big drive and the screening for bowel cancer, you know, and the reproductive, sex and reproductive cancers are the biggest ones. Lung, communication, breast, communication, chest, cervical cancer, uterine cancer, bladder, bowel. So we have to really watch. They're all linked to our sex and reproductive organs, which then links it to other hormonal considerations. So, you know, we want to be able to understand that, you know, we're going through this season and we haven't mastered our health really well. And then we have this whole thing upstairs, downstairs, trying to return to intimacy after life has changed your body. It may be because of mastectomy or hysterectomy. It may be vaginismus. It may be menopause. It may be prostate surgery. It can be erectile dysfunction. It may be a long season of celibacy where you haven't considered the biological and physiological changes. It can be grief, what I'm going through at the moment. It could be body confidence. But intimacy is never just physical. So in order for us to maintain our health, we have to understand our health in the first place. So you can email me, pelvicsecrets@icloud.com. You can find me on Instagram, TikTok, @pelvicsecrets. You can find me on LinkedIn, Jenny Russell, J-E-N-N-I, and Facebook, or Pelvic Floor Secrets. But I'm really happy to have this conversation. Next week, like I said, why aging well is not easy, and 10 things you can do to make it so. It's going to possibly be the last free masterclass. And after that, even if it's a nominal fee, for the time I put to invest and do it, it's time for people to start to invest in themselves too. So, in health and happiness, until next week, wherever you are in the world, stay blessed, stay safe. Bye-bye.